Hello there, welcome along to The Sweet Spot. Bruce and Steve back with you, looking ahead to the Olympics. We're going for gold. Steve's been looking to see who the podium picks are for Japan. And we've also got European Tour event in Northern Ireland. Before that, we'll look back on what happened last week. Before that, we'll say hello, Steve. How was your holiday?
It was very good, thanks, Bruce. Yeah. I had a nice round of golf. I very, very rarely get a round of golfing. But yeah, carded a 79 at Wharfdale Golf and Country Club.
Did you?
Which was the highlight, yeah.
Wow, that's a good round, isn't it? Did you manage to get it through the windmill first time?
No. It's a legitimate 79. I was as shocked as you. Yeah, with a lot of rust in the system, but played okay. And then the rest of the week, just concentrating on Tommy Tiger's development.
And how's he coming along?
Yeah, fantastic. He's starting, he's using better balls now. We've had a better range where he's got better quality of ball and it's going further. So, look out.
Good. Excellent. Nice one. Right. So you back refreshed. Before we look back on the winners, we pay homage to Super Sub Joe Champion. I mean, I was thinking about this, Steve. When your surname is Champion, there's a lot of pressure on you in life, isn't there, to succeed? I mean, you know, you've really got to step up. It's like these people who call their kids Victor. I mean, that is a really tough gig, that, isn't it? If you're called Victor, you know, and you just want to coast through life, it's not really fair. But anyway, thankfully, our champion is Champion name and nature, because last week he nailed 125-1 beauty, and it was our old friend Cameron Champ, wasn't it, Steve, who, you know, you pretty much discovered. And he refound his game after an in-and-out year, didn't he, to win over the 3M Open. It was an extraordinary performance. And, Steve, when I looked at it, you look at how far he hits it and how high he hits it and how accurate it is. Where's that been all year? Because there's so many missed cuts interspersed with low finishes. I mean, it's extraordinary, yeah. Isn't it?
No, it was fantastic last week. Champ doing it for Champ. He was one for the good guys, because Cameron Champ is not just an amazing golfer. He's a really decent bloke, does a lot of good work off the course. Joe Champion, obviously one of our favourite colleagues, top man, very hardworking, doesn't just write the RFO golf every week. He's really, really productive member of the desk. And Cameron Champ, as you say, has missed a lot of cuts, but he has had issues temperament-wise. He said he's been far too hard on himself on the golf course. He's been trying to chill out more, and he's had the results now, because he started putting well. He putted well for 11th place in the John Deere Classic in his previous event, and he was superb with the putter last week. And it was a real thrill for me to see him putting with a conventional stroke again, because he went to the claw. He was getting so desperate. I hate it when young players go to the claw, but he's gone back to the conventional stroke and putted superbly, staying calmer. Third PGA Tour win at the age of 26. The world is Cameron Champ's oyster again.
Yeah, so he's still someone you think could contend in majors, yeah?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We're huge Cameron Champ fans on this podcast. We've got him down as a future world number one. And, you know, as the inconsistency set in, you know, you started to wonder. He had some back problems as well. But I think this was a crucial victory at a crucial time in his career. And if he can just stay cool, stay calm, not let the game overwhelm him like it did, I think he can win anything. His ball striking is good enough to win anything. And he topped the putting stats last week. I think he was fantastic on the greens last week. So, huge future for Cameron Champ.
What do you mean by good work off the course? Does he make nice shelves and stuff from home when he's doing good stuff for good causes? Is that more what you're on about?
He's actually a big ambassador for racial injustices. You know, he's a mixed race himself, and he does a lot of work for that off the course. He's a big campaigner, brilliant. And he just seems like a really, really good egg. And I think he's got all the talent in the world. So when he first came onto the scene, we predicted he was a future world number one. Do you remember me and Ian McLaughlin used to lyrical about him, didn't we?
But we called him the Greyhound, didn't he? Because Cameron Champ sounds like he should be coming out of trap four in the 239 at Monmore, doesn't it?
We perhaps got a bit carried away, but he's still only 26 and 3 PGA Tour wins. I expect major glory for Cameron Champ.
Excellent. Well, and if you do get that, we'll look back on this week and see how on earth, or last week, and say how on earth did he go off at 125-1. But well done to Cameron Champ. And the Champ almost struck, well, not quite almost, but he had a placed contender at the same price in the event down in the Kazoo Open down at Celtic Manor, because Callum Shinquin did that. So it was a brilliant week. And I know someone on the comments section underneath said they had the each way double, and that returned a pretty penny. So that was terrific. So well done, Champ. What else did you take out of the Kazoo Open? Just trying to think who won. Oh, it was Nacho Elvira, wasn't it? I'll tell you what, that was nice, wasn't it? Nacho Elvira is one of these guys who sort of, you know, operates on the periphery of the tour, isn't he? He didn't really get his time in the spotlight. And he blew a big lead on Sunday and then held it together in the playoff, didn't it? So that was nice. He seems a really nice fella.
Oh, it was incredible. It's like the dictionary definition of falling over the line, wasn't it? Because as you say, he had that six-shot lead. It was just slowly but surely dwindling away. And then he went up the final hole, just needed to two putt for par to win the tournament in regulation play. And he three putted from like 18 feet. And he hadn't won a tournament since 2015. He was a European Tour maiden. He's won four times on the Challenge Tour, but he went 6 years with nothing. And you really felt for him. He looked like a lamb to the slaughter in the playoff. And then he was so lucky that Justin Harding made a haulix to that first playoff hole. It took a six, Justin Harding, to let the wounded animal off, you know.
But, it was nice, wasn't it? He seems a lovely fella, doesn't he, Nacho Elvira? He's got a nice smile. He looks a bit like sort of Tommy Cooper or something, but
the interviews afterwards was so downbeat because he was just still hurting and feeling embarrassed by what happened. And you know, you'd never see a winner look so like broken by what just happened. But now hopefully he's had time to reflect. You know, a win's a win. I don't think people would be rushing about Nacho Elvira because it wasn't, you know, as I say, it's the most unconvincing victory I've ever seen, I think. But please for him.
Any takeouts? Any players did better or worse than you thought? I mean, it was a miscut for Dustin in America, wasn't it? That was pretty poor, wasn't it? He's playing very shabbily this year, isn't he?
Yeah. You wonder what's going on in Dustin's head at the moment. He's not quite there. He's not playing like world number one, is he? John Rahm's taking his world number one status back. No, I'm not sure. No, the big take of the week was that Cameron Champ is back big time now, and we'll follow him in bigger and better tournaments.
Okay, should we move on to the Olympics now?
I think we should, because I'm really, really excited about this tournament.
Okay, have you enjoyed the games so far? Have you seen much of it? I've loved it. I went into it thinking, oh God, no crowds. I hadn't really had that sort of build-up because we're still, you know, in Euro mood. But I've absolutely loved it. There's been some terrific action. The highlight so far for me was the family of the swimmer, Tom Dean. He won gold for Britain this morning at about 3 a.m., and his family and friends congregated in their garden to watch. And there's about 70 of them in the end. And there's a video of him, you know, getting up and winning it. It's about 2 minutes. And the roars are absolutely brilliant. It really was lovely. I don't know if you've seen that one, have you?
I haven't. Oh, you must. At 3 a.m. in the garden. Was it a bit dark?
It was. It was pitch black.
They
interviewed the mum on Breakfast TV this morning and said, you know, did the neighbours complain? She said, no, we invited them. That was the smart move. Yeah. But you must look at that. That's a really uplifting moment. I know you like Olympics uplifting things.
Yeah, Olympics always brings that, don't they? You always seem to get a few stories from the Olympics that are massively uplifting. No, I will look out for that. I think we're doing well in the swimming pool, aren't we? I must catch
doing
up.
Doing well there, yeah.
Yesterday, the swimming pool drama was amazing, wasn't it? We're usually pretty good at cycling, aren't we? I think we've got a good chance of getting a big medal haul here.
Very much so. Okay, anyway, we'll concentrate on the golf. Tell us all about it. The course is, I love the way Japanese names are formed. They have a vowel, then a consonant, then a vowel, then a consonant, then a vowel, then a consonant. And this one, this golf course is about seven syllables of that, isn't it? What's it called? Have you been practicing?
It's a tricky one, yeah. It's the East Course. That's the easy bit. East Course at Kazumigazaki Country Club.
Isn't that brilliant? Kazumigazaki. That's superb. I love that.
Which is in the Saitama, which is just north of Tokyo, about 25 miles north of Tokyo.
Okay, and it's a regulation four-round stroke play with a cut, yeah?
No cut. 72-hole stroke play, no cut. The course is 7,466 yards, par 71. It's quite a long par 71. Three long par fives, three long par threes. Course is playing very soft. Lots of rain in Japan. Tree-lined fairways with zoysia grass, which is very, very receptive turf. It's a camel of grass. It really retains the moisture. Bent grass greens, a field of 60 going to post. Really hot and humid, thundery weather. You know, temperatures in the low 30s. Hardly any wind.
And no countries allowed, I think, more than four competitors. I guess some are allowed fewer than that. Is that right?
There's a few, just one. Yeah. It's all done on world rankings. The Yanks have got four. Most teams have got two.
Okay, we'll have a little run through the betting before Steve gives us his tips. These are rough prices. I looked on the each ways today. Some firms are a quarter of the five, others are a fifth of seven, which isn't bad if there's only 60 runners, and presumably a few of those probably can't win. Anyway, Colin Morikawa, our Open champion, heads the market at sevens. Xander Schauffele at nines. Justin Thomas is 11s. Rory 12. Matsuyama, he'll be under a bit of pressure for a local win. He's 12s. Victor Hovland's 12. 16 Casey. 18 Reed. Reed was drafted in at the last minute because Bryson got COVID. And 20-1 Cam Smith, Neiman, 22-1 Ants. So decent enough field. I'm very much looking forward to this, aren't you?
I think you've got every right to be. It's a fantastic betting heat. You know, regardless of the joy of the Olympics, as a punter, this is a fantastic heat. And I've got five tips. and three of them are going to be win only at relatively short prices, and then two each way bets at bigger prices.
Wow, that's very unusual to go win only, Steve. What's the thinking behind that?
Just so I don't overload people with stake money. The three are quite short prices, as I say, so you need to go win only on them. But you're absolutely right. There's a lot of chaff in this field of 60. So you've got a very small field, a lot of chaff that we can rule out.
What is chaff?
Well, it's not wheat.
Yeah, I know it's not wheat. That doesn't tell me what it is.
I guess it's just rotten wheat, is it?
I don't know.
Be the little bits that are falling off the heart of the wheat. I don't know. Okay. Good question. We'll have to look into that. But I think this is a tournament you want to be attacking. Hills are going seven each way places. Incredible offer, really. So, we've got five. Shall I start?
Okay. Right then, yeah, go. Who's going to strike gold, do you think?
Hideki Matsuyama is going to strike gold. I see the tennis player get knocked out this morning, so perhaps even more pressure on Hideki now with one of the main tennis hopes knocked out. But yeah, Japan haven't got many hopes of a gold medal. Matsuyama is one of their best.
Well, they're top of the medals table. What are you on about?
They've already had nine. They've had nine golds, have they?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Well, that's good. That'll alleviate a bit of pressure from Matsuyama. Sorry, I haven't been following the Olympics. I saw our diver did well yesterday.
That's right. Yeah, there's been a few other bits and pieces going on apart from that. Yeah.
That's good. Well, that's great news, because that'll alleviate the pressure a minute. But regardless of the pressure, he can handle it, because his whole professional career has been based on being Japan's hope for a first major title. And he's obviously achieved that now. If you can win a green jacket, you can win a blooming gold medal. Do you remember the 2019 Zozo Championship in Japan? The first PGA Tour event in Japan. Yeah, it's a big occasion, high class field, loads of spectators in for that. And Matsuyama was arguably under more pressure then than he was now. And he finished runner up to Tiger Woods in that, played really well in similar conditions, very soft course in Japan, finished runner up in that. So I don't think there's any question Matsuyama can handle this. He's the only course winner in the field. He won the 2009 Japan Junior Championship by four shots on the East Course. And he also won, there's two courses on this property. He's also won on the West Course, the neighbouring course. He won the 2010 Asian Amateur Championship by five shots. So he's very comfortable at this venue. And the recent COVID issues are no concern at all. He was completely symptom-free throughout all this. He skipped the Open with COVID. Just means his preparation for this is spot on. So, yeah, Hideki Matsuyama, the best bet.
Excellent. OK, Steve, thank you very much indeed. And that's a win only selection, is it?
It is. It is a win only selection at 14 to 1.
Rightio. Who's the danger?
The main potential party pooper for our Japanese friends is Victor Hovland, who won the BMW International a month ago. Then he had a very chilled fortnight in Norway before the Open. Then he finished 12th in the Open after a final round 66. So he's coming to the Olympics fresh and confident. And I think he'll fall in love with this course. Hovland made his name as a college star at Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State's home course is Carston Creek. That's got Zoysia fairways, bent grass greens, and was designed by Tom Fazio. This week, he's got Zoysia grass fairways, bent grass greens, and a track renovated by Tom Fazio in 2014.
Wow.
So I think Hovland's going to be in his element this week. He loved the Fazio design from the Wells Fargo. He finished third in the Wells Fargo in May. So, yeah, I think Hovland at 12 to 1 has to be in the staking plan.
OK, and there's one more win only selection. So before we get onto the each ways.
There is one more win only at 16 to 1. Paul Casey, Great Britain took gold at the last Olympics. A wonderful moment. I'll never forget. I really needed a winner then. And Justin Rose was tipped at 12 to 1. My wife and I celebrated intensely on the floor of my lounge. I'll never forget when Rio 2016 will never leave my memory. I can see Paul Casey following Justin Rose's lead this week. This looks a driver's course to me. It's long, soft tree line. There's a touch of Wentworth about this course. One of the original co-designers of this track worked very closely with Harry Colt, who designed Wentworth. Casey's won at Wentworth. He's a magnificent driver. He's played great all year. He was absolutely bowled over by the support he received in the Open. You could see how touched he was. He was like going like this on the first tee. We couldn't believe the ovation. The Surrey man was given a huge welcome in Kent. Really enjoyed himself. Finished 15th. Casey, a very experienced overseas performer. He's won on the Korean Tour. He's won twice in China on the European Tour. I can't see Casey not being in the mix. He's highly motivated.
Right. So we've got Matsuyama, Hovland and Casey is our three win onlys, and then a couple of side orders of each way action. Who are they going to be for?
The first one of them is Sung Jae Im. I think you've got to go each way on Sung Jae Im.
The pressure, the pressure.
This is huge pressure. The thing is, if you've got to go each way on Sung Jae Im, because if you offered him a bronze medal now, he would bite your hand off. He would probably literally bite your hand off because in the excitement of it all, because he's desperate for a medal. Because as you say, if he gets a medal of any kind, he gets away from this 2 years of military service, which is probably going to ruin his career. It's ruined Sang Yubai's career. He's got to try and avoid that. This is the biggest tournament of his year. I know that's pressure. And there's two players in this field who want to win this medal more than anyone else. The two Koreans. Siwoo Kim is a volatile character at the best of times. Yeah, the fact he was putting with a three wood at Augusta says it all. You know, he destroyed his putter at Augusta, even though he's in contention for winning the Masters. I think this will prove too much for Siwoo Kim. I think his head will come off. Sung Jae Im is a calmer character. He's got a better temperament. He made an amazing President's Cup debut at Royal Melbourne. You probably remember. He's contended for the Masters, finished second behind Dustin Johnson. And in that Zozo Championship, which I think is a very key piece of form, he finished third behind Tiger Woods and Hideki Matsuyama. He spent two seasons playing on the Japan Tour at the start of his career, Sung Jae Im. Very comfortable in this. And he skipped the Open to prepare properly, thoroughly. I think Matsuyama, Im and Siwoo Kim have probably played more practice rounds than anyone else in this tournament.
I'll tell you what, Steve, imagine that, right? Because, I mean, there's no sportsman has a better life than a top-notch golfer, do they? They just go private jets to beautiful locations, play golf, stay in lovely hotels. I mean, they have to put the practice in, obviously, we get that. But going from that to 2 years of getting, you know, marching around a square and potato peeling and going on manoeuvres, I mean, it'd be absolutely horrific, wouldn't it? I mean, which of those would make the better soldier, do you think, out of Siwoo Kim and Sung Jae Im?
I think Siwoo Kim would make a much better soldier. He's a complete nutcase. Yeah, he'd just go over the top and all guns blazing.
Want him in the trenches with you?
You'd want him in the trenches, but I don't think he'd last long. I think he'd just charge. Sung Jae Im, yeah, there's all sorts of different jobs. I mean, Sung Yul No did it. Another one of my favourite players when he was younger, like glorious swing, huge future. He did it and he got like a civil service type job. He was a bit of a pen pusher, got an office.
Okay.
So there are jobs in the military and the sort of offices where you still allow you to do a bit of practice and that. So I don't know what role they'll be given, but I don't know whether you have a choice in it. But yeah, obviously huge amounts of pressure, but I think, you know, the field is small and Sung Jae Im has got the temperament to handle it. I think Siwoo Kim hasn't.
Okay, and finally, who do you like?
And finally, the much biggest odds, 70-1, included in the staking plan purely to wind up my boss, the gifted but inconsistent Thomas Peters. Thomas Peters is definitely a runner this week. He's one of few players in this field who was in the last Olympics. I think that's a very useful experience. And he finished fourth. Poor lad, you know, just missed a medal. He finished fourth. And I think that experience is useful because the Rio course has Zoysia grass fairways. There's not many courses in the world that have Zoysia grass fairways. He finished fourth in the Olympics on that. He finished sixth in the 2018 USPGA Championship at Belle Arrive, which has also got Zoysia grass fairways. And I think Peters likes these sort of missions. You remember the 2018 World Cup in Melbourne? Jetted over to that with his mate Thomas Detry, won the World Cup for Belgium. He's got Thomas Detry alongside him again this week. I think they'll have a fantastic time, whatever happens. I think Peters has got the ability to win this. He's a ball striker's track. He's still one of the best ball strikers in the world. He struggles with a putter.
How many times have you fallen for him, though, Steve? And he goes there and he shoots a good number and then something goes wrong, doesn't it? The air just comes out of his balloon so easily, doesn't it?
Well, it didn't in the 2018 World Cup with Thomas Detry. Okay. He likes playing the sort of father role alongside Thomas Detry.
Yeah, but he's not with Thomas Detry, is he? If Thomas Detry does well, he could be denying him a medal. They're not mates together this week, are
but
they?
This week, you've got to stay in your little bubbles, haven't you? And I think those two would be very, very tight unit together, you know, in their little camp. You compare the harmony in the Belgian camp to the potential disharmony in the American camp, which we're probably going to get onto now. And
tell me all about that, because the Americans are right. They've got Patrick Reed, who's not everyone's cup of tea, but Maury Carmer's a lovely, amiable chap. Schauffele looks like the kind of guy who keeps himself to himself. And then you've got JT, who everybody likes. So what's the issue there?
I think you glossed over the Patrick Reed issue quite swiftly there. I mean, if you go back to the Farmers Insurance Open in January, do you remember Patrick Reed, very controversial drop there. Patrick Reed won the tournament, but there was a lot of aftermath. And immediately after that tournament, Xander Schauffele was very, very critical of Patrick Reed.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know about this.
They had a bust up. They had a huge bust up after that. So I think Xander Schauffele and Patrick Reed are not on good terms. Even more so than that, Justin Thomas and Patrick Reed, their relationship, I think, is terrible.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. So they've really put a cat among the pigeons drafting him in then, haven't they?
Yeah, but funnily enough, Bryson DeChambeau, you know, would have been a lovely co-hit. Yeah, we would have three Californians who all get on quite well if Bryson DeChambeau had been there. But if you remember after that Torrey Pines one, Patrick Reed's wife, yeah, reportedly had this burner Twitter account that was revealed. Do you remember all that drama?
Yeah. It was a bit like Rebecca Vardy and Colleen Rooney, wasn't it?
Indeed. She made a Twitter blunder, apparently, and the burner account was revealed. And the history on that burner account, the one player that was singled out for a historical abuse on that burner account was Justin Thomas.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this is brilliant.
It's not really been mentioned anywhere. I haven't seen it mentioned anywhere. I think it's been glossed over, but Patrick Reed coming into that camp as it's like a bomb gone off in the American camp there. Thomas will not be saying a word to him. They'll put on a good show in public, but I just think it's bad for morale. I didn't fancy any of them anyway before that, and even less so now. I mean, the course is not ideal for Morikawa. He's a very short prize, I think. It's a soft course. Power is a very useful tool this week. He's not played well after previous wins. He hasn't had much time to get over that open win. I think Morikawa can be left alone.
Who have we got in Team GB, Steve? We've got Casey, you've mentioned. Who else is on there?
We've got Fleetwood. Tommy Fleetwood, yeah. Yeah.
Who else?
No, we've only got two.
We only get two, do we?
We've only got two, yeah.
Why is Fleetwood on there and not Hatton?
Hatton didn't fancy it, said it didn't fit in with his skin. No, he very, very selfishly said it. He wouldn't perform well in the other events. I mean, the FedEx Cup's looming large. Yeah, he wants the big bucks on there. So, yeah, Hatton's obviously gone down in the estimation.
And the fine young man, the defending champ, didn't qualify, no?
No, sadly not.
Oh, well. Okay, good. Well, it should be good, shouldn't it? It starts, by the way, at 11:30 on Wednesday evening. So get your bets on either Tuesday or Wednesday. Will you be staying up? It's not a very friendly time, is it, that?
No. It'd have to be a night owl. Starts 11:30 p.m. on Wednesday night. Tomorrow.
And they're 8 hours ahead of us in Tokyo, so I suppose the denouement might be able to wake up on Saturday. No, it'd be Sunday morning. No, Saturday morning and get the final bit. No, what am I on about? Sunday morning. If we wake up, then we might be able to catch the tail end of it.
That's it. Yeah. Absolutely.
Excellent. Okay, let's move on to the ISPS Handa World Championship, or whatever it's called. It's in Northern Ireland. There's a ladies' event. Oh, by the way, just quickly, on the women's Olympics event, we're not ignoring that, but that's the following week, so we'll do that on next week's Sweet Spot. But tell us all about this, because there's a women's championship and a men's championship. I'm not quite sure what this is all about.
Yeah, there's two tournaments going on at the same time, both 144 runner fields, but unlike the last one that we had like this, the Scandinavian mix, they're not playing together. It really is two separate events. And we're focusing on the men's one because, we don't cover regulation ladies events, and it's a pretty poor field. I mean, you talk about the ladies Olympics, all the best players have gone over for that. Yeah, the ladies Olympics is as strong as it can get. You know, loads of players, loads of men have turned their nose up. We talk about Tyrrell Hatton. He's not alone. Loads of top quality men have turned their nose up at the Olympics. And obviously then you had John Rahm getting COVID again.
I know. Goodness me, he's some sort of medical miracle, isn't he, that guy?
Well, it just shows the danger, doesn't it? I think he has been vaccinated now and he could get it. And then DeChambeau's got it as well. So, yeah, the Olympic men's field has been shorn of some quality that the women's hasn't. But, yeah, the women's event in this thing is not great, but the men's event's not great. But, yeah, it's the ISPS Handa World Invitational, to give it its full name.
Righty-ho, let's get the latest betting. 10-1, Andy Sullivan. 11-1, Justin Harding. And then we're 22-1, Laurie Cantor and Marcus Armitage. Jordan Smith is 25-1. Do you need a slurp, Steve? Do you want me to carry on so you can have a go?
Oh, I never turn down a slurp.
25-1, Jordan Smith then. 25-1, Kawamura. 25-1, Callum Hill. 28-1, John Catlin. 28-1, Atagwe. 28-1, Norman. 28-1. Steve, rubbish field, isn't it? Same old bloody people. I mean, Keith Pelly and the European Tour guys, I think they do a great job. I think they innovate well. I think they've rescheduled brilliantly with COVID. They do social media fantastically. they're just not getting the rewards with the field. Are we just in a stage where the financial gulf between America and Europe is just so big that this is the way it's going to be for these kind of regulation events?
Yeah, we've only got a handful of events where we provide enough dollar to get them over. You know, the Rolex Series events have got plenty of cash. But yeah, they're all mercenaries, aren't they, really? Yeah,
they're professionals.
Where the money is. Yeah, you talk. Yeah, Tyrrell Hatton basically turned his nose up at a potential gold medal to keep himself fresh and firing for the FedEx Cup dollars. So it's that's what you're dealing with. But not many big names here. This was a Challenge Tour event for a long time. And then last year it hosted the 2020 Irish Open, Galgorm Castle. We've got two courses this week to add to the complications. We must make this clear. We've got three rounds at Galgorm Castle, one round at Mazarine, both in Ballymena, County Antrim, Northern Ireland. And both quite similar courses, short, tight, tree-lined, juicy, rough.
Inland,
parkland tracks. Galgorm is 7,005 yards. Mazarine is only 6,827 yards. So, yeah, short, tight, tree-lined tracks.
The thing is, even if the quality of the field isn't there, the quality of the betting opportunities can sometimes be fantastic, can't it? So let's raise ourselves, shall we?
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah. And the number,
what have you got?
I got five in this as well. Yeah, we're going 5 and 5 this week. No messing about this week.
Righty-ho, headline selection?
Vincent Norman.
Yeah, tell me about Vincent Norman, because he was a new name to me, and he was on the leaderboard last week at Celtic Manor, wasn't he? And played well. So, but then he had a late disaster. Was it him?
It was him. Yeah, he had a 10. Yeah, Vincent Norman has got huge potential at 23 years of age. This is a really impressive youngster. He's made a barnstorming start to his professional career. He was superb in stateside college events. He got up to number 4. In the world amateur rankings. His last tournament as an amateur was the Scandinavian Mixed, which you just mentioned just over a month ago. He finished 12th in the Scandinavian Mixed as an amateur. First tournament as a pro was the BMW International Open. He finished 5th. He closed with a 66. He got a hole in one on a par 4. I mean,
wow. You
know, talk about making your mark straight away. Yeah, this fella's clearly got the X factor. And then
where's he from, Steve?
Sweden. Oh. And then last week, ping the lids, as you say, open with a 64 in the kazoo, and then he contended until he made a Horlicks of the 18th in round 3. He carded a 10 there, so dropped 5 shots on the last. Yeah, a real showstopper. Bounced back the next day with a 66, then tied for 10th place. I think we're looking at a Norman conquest this week.
Oh, very good. I must have
a word with the headline writers. He's going to have to be a little less gung-ho than usual. Very attacking, powerful player. He's going to have to club down a bit, but he'll have the strength to get out of the rough there. I think he'd be a threat to all.
So he needs to use his brain rather than his power there. So we're looking more for Norman wisdom, are we?
There we go.
Oh, by the way, talking of big scores last week in the kazoo, our old mucker Jack Reeve was at Celtic Manor. He went down and had a stroll around, and he was following Hao Tung Lee when Hao Tung Lee took a 12.
Yes.
And I asked him whether Lee was in turmoil at the end of it. He said, no, he was totally ambivalent, smiled, didn't care. He smashed 4 tee shots into the drink.
Well, that's what he's doing every week now. He's lost the driver completely. He hasn't made a cut this year, has he?
It's a shame. He looked like he had the world at his feet, didn't he?
Yeah, and a really likeable bloke. I mean, I'm glad he's not bothered by it because it looks like... Yeah, there's two players in the European Tour. Him and Andrea Pavan can't keep the ball on the map. And, yeah, it could be career-ending, lack of ability with the driver,
Blimey, O'Reilly. Yeah, you do get these golfers, don't you, Steve? They're on, 1 minute you're seeing them week after week, and the next, they just vanish, and you can't...
Well, the old drive for show, putt for doping is complete nonsense, isn't it? It's the other way around, if anything. You know, if you lose your driving ability, you're finished.
Yeah, because you can't... You can become a slightly worse putter, but you can't really, because it's not so much technique, is there? I mean, the driving's what it's all about, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, anyway, Vincent Norman is the headline selection. Number 2 pick?
Number 2 pick is Callum Hill, who I've been following off a cliff this year.
You're determined to die on that hill, aren't you?
This is it. And, I've been backing him a lot, because he's a 3-time Challenge Tour winner. I think he's good enough to win on the European Tour. And one of those Challenge Tour victories, the first of those Challenge Tour victories, came at Galgorm Castle in the 2018 Northern Ireland Open. His other two Galgorm spins resulted in 7th place and 28th place. So he loves this venue. And I'm going to forgive him a sloppy Sunday. It's all about Hao Tung Lee having a struggle. Callum Hill had a struggle in the kazoo on Sunday. But he had his coach with him last week. His coach was caddying for him last week in a one-off. I'm not sure where the regular caddy was. But... he was lacking a bit of focus on Sunday. He made a 7 at the second hole, got tailed off. but he was 2 under par for his final four holes. I think I don't think he left Wales with any serious concerns. He's going to a venue he loves this week. So I'm going to give Callum Hill another chance at 28-1.
Rightio, and third?
Third is Maverick Antcliffe. Maybe I'll end up following Maverick Antcliffe off a cliff.
Yeah.
Because there's plenty of like about him. He hits his ball extremely straight, seems to be a strong competitor. And this week's courses suit him. In the Irish Open I mentioned last year, Galgorm Castle, four rounds at Galgorm Castle. He tied for third place in that. He's won three events on the China Tour. Hasn't played that many European Tour events. Yeah, I think Maverick Antcliffe is good enough to win the European Tour. You probably recognise him. He's got long hair, unusually long hair.
It's funny, isn't it? Because you've got two golfers called Maverick. Now you've got Maverick McNealy and Maverick Antcliffe. And as we were talking about earlier with people called Victor or Champion, it's a hell of a burden, that, isn't it? I'm going to call him Maverick. What happens if they end up working just their local library, you know? Just a nice, sort of quiet person. Oh, hi, can you tell me where, Wayne Rooney's autobiography is? Yeah, it's third on the left. Oh, thanks very much. You were very helpful. What's your name? Oh, well, it's Maverick. I mean, it just doesn't sound right, does it?
It does. Okay, he is a Maverick. He's got long hair, tattoos. I mean, he doesn't look
you've
like
got
an average
to, if you're called that, even if you are naturally kind of meek character,
contractually obliged.
You are. Okay, so we've got our main selection is Vincent Norman. Then we've got Callum Hill. Then we've got Maverick Antcliffe. Now who have we got next?
Two more, 80-1. They may be bigger about the second one. We'll get to that in a minute because for some reason he's not been listed on the betting comparison sites. He's definitely playing. I don't know what's going on. I think someone's made a blunder. But the first one is Francesco Laporta, who was the star of the Challenge Tour in 2019. He won the grand final in 2019, topped the rankings. European Tour success has not come yet. But he was second in the Golf in Dubai Championship at the end of last year. And he was fourth in the Irish Open at the start of this month. And that's a huge boost to morale for him. He's in Northern Ireland this week. We could see more of the same. Laporta typically straight off the tee. And he was fifth in this event in 2019. When this was a Challenge Tour event in 2019, it was the same format as this week. Three rounds at Galgorm, one at Mazarine. Laporta loved that and finished fifth.
Brilliant.
And then the final one, which, as I say, you'll have to work hard to find prices, but I've seen 80-1 out there, which is good, is Jonathan Caldwell, 37-year-old Northern Irishman, relishing the chance to tee up in his home country. He won his maiden European Tour title in that Scandinavian mix last month. Brilliant approach to the final hole to win with a birdie. He's not played well since. The understandable reaction to becoming a champion. Maybe it's the bar bill that's unsettling him, because after he won in Sweden, He said to all the members at his local club, put a tab behind the bar, have what you want, get stuck in. But when he came back,
dangerous.
All his prize money had probably gone.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can see him slipping back into form this week on a course he knows and loves. He doesn't hit it very far, so these two short tracks are perfect for him. He finished ninth in the Challenge Tour event at Galgorm in 2013 when he was outside the world's top 1,400. He finished 12th in 2014 when he was still outside the top 1,000. He was 13th in 2018 when he was still outside the top 1,000. So he's been playing well on this track when he's had no right to. Now he's going back as a European Tour champion. He's a great putter. I think he's worth the gamble.
Excellent. OK, Steve, brilliant stuff. Anything else to add for this week?
I think Sullivan's a short price. If you want to talk about the market leaders, I prefer him on easier courses. He can be a bit loose. There's a lot of juicy rough on this course. Harding, you've got to respect Harding, but he's got to get over that blunder he made in the playoff there to gift Elvira victory.
Do you just think these long people with long putters? I mean, when we did Sweet Spot Live the other week, you were very down on people who wear visors. I mean, I think that's, I sort of respect your theory, but it's slightly intangible. But those long putters, I mean, does anyone win with one of them these days?
Yeah, you can win with them, but I know what you mean. It's so ugly, isn't it? Harris English, by the way, just an update from that. I was wondering whether he's still with him. Of course he doesn't. He's played better since he's gone to a proper cap, Harris English. He used to
wear has he?
Put the proper cap on, started looking like a proper golfer, and he's got results now. So
yeah. There's something in that then, isn't there? Excellent. Next week, apparently, according to the running, we've got the Barracuda Championship, we've got the Hero Open, we've got the FedEx St. Jude Invitational, and we've also got the Women's Olympics. So you're going to have to get studying. There's lots on next week, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, each way trebles, each way quads.
Lucky 15s and all sorts.
15s, yeah. That's your chance to win your freedom. And then my Freedom Day from Boris Johnson. You're going to have Freedom Day from us next week.
Yeah, excellent. What are you doing between now and then? Just head down working, or have you got any nice stuff lined up as well?
Well, you make a very good point that the European Tour event's not that attractive as a spectacle, whereas the Olympic event is. So you've basically got to turn yourself into a nocturnal animal, haven't you? Try and sleep during the day and stay up all night. But I mean, we've got jobs of work to do, so tricky one. But yeah, that's my plan, to become an owl for the week.
Oh, lovely. That would be good then. Excellent. All right then, Steve. There was one other thing I was going to mention. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it. Don't forget, if you do want Joe Champion selections this week, I'm going to be a meanie. I'm not going to give them to you here. You can get them one of two ways. You can go to your newsagent and buy a copy of this week's Racing and Football Outlook, or you can join. You might already be a Racing Post Ultimate member, in which case you get the downloadable electronic version of the Racing and Football Outlook as part of your package. So that's Joe, I'm sure, will have some decent tips. And I know that some of his coincide with yours as well, Steve. So we better recap yours, haven't we, before we go? Five in the Olympics.
Hideki Matsuyama, Victor Hovland, Paul Casey, Sung Jae Im, Thomas Peters.
And in the ISPS Handa World Invitational Championship thingy.
Vincent Norman, Callum Hill, Maverick Antcliffe, Francesco Laporta, Jonathan Caldwell.
Lovely. Good luck, Stevie. Where are you on the confidence rating this week?
The Olympics, I'm massively confident about. The ISPS is obviously a bit more speculative and much more difficult. But I think the Olympics is a gift. 60 runners with those each way places. You know, anyone who's playing out winnings from last week, I strongly advise a decent investment, because you're not going to get any wind in there either. You've got a lovely sort of calm, benign conditions. Yeah, get stuck in the Olympics.
OK, get stuck in relative to what you can afford, as we
like. Yes.
OK, finally, very much a sad farewell to Dan Walsh, who's done a great job producing this show down the years. Dan's leaving us for Pastures New with our very best wishes and our thanks for all he's done on the Sweet Spot. Cheers, Dan. Cheers, Steve. Thank you very much for watching. Don't forget, let us know who you fancy on the comments below. And if you tip the winner, we'll give you a big up next week. Back next Tuesday for another Sweet Spot.